Thank you for choosing Weekly Politics today. If you haven't seen the news, which I honestly think you'd have to be pretty blind to not see the news, there's obviously a very large invasion of Israel through the Gaza Strip right now. And today I was actually planning to do an episode based on my response to a Washington Post article. But because of the news, the invasion started the day after I was planning this episode. And so when I saw the news, I was like, okay, let's post the Washington Post response to maybe a couple days after this episode. And we'll just talk about the invasion of Israel, which is a tragic thing going on right now. I believe there are over 1,100 casualties of both Palestinians and Israelites. And the really confusing part about this that a lot of people don't seem to understand is there's two different versions of Palestine. There's the aggressive Gaza Strip, and there is the less aggressive, I believe it's called the West Coast Palestine. And the difference between them is, well, obviously less aggressive and aggressive, but also just what type of Islam I believe they are. And I don't know the exact, I don't know my sects of Islam. I don't know what they're called. But I do know that the Gaza Strip one is one of the more violent ones, and the West Coast is the less violent one. And, yeah. So, Benjamin I can't pronounce his name. He's Jewish. Benjamin Netanyahu. He came out on Twitter after the attack and said that Israel plans to fully occupy the Gaza Strip. I'm not sure exactly if this is actually going to happen, but we'll see if it does. Right now, I believe the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, are moving into the Gaza Strip. They have eliminated all, if not most, of the Palestinians that invaded the territory, and they're now moving into enemy territory. So it's an interesting, what do you call it, advancement in the war, and we'll see where it goes. My hope is that the Gaza Strip is indeed eliminated and that Israel gains full control of the Gaza Strip, because the Gaza Strip has done nothing but cause problems for Israel. They've done constant terrorist attacks, whether with rockets or with just simple guerrilla attacks on different outposts on the border. Everything they've done has been to annoy Israel, and they haven't been doing it provocatively. There's a lot of people on the left in America. So this is really, obviously, I'm an American political guy. I don't talk about Israeli politics without talking about the American political side of it as well in the same episode. And so this war is very much like Ukraine, but the Middle East. And I'm actually for sending troops. Here's the thing. Whenever we don't send troops, we just show weakness. So whenever I'd say I'm for sending troops, and you're like, well, you say that with everything. We can't send troops everywhere. It's like, yeah, all we have to do is send it to one place, and we won't have to send it to other places, because wars won't break out. Our troops, our military, is the single most effective peacekeeping force in the world. And we don't use it. Let that sink in. So with Israel, the way this is all going in Israel right now is it's really, I didn't think it would happen. It happened on the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War. And the Yom Kippur War was a war with Egypt and Palestine. I believe there was one other nation involved, but I can't remember. I didn't read too much up on the Yom Kippur War. But essentially, it started Saturday, which is the 50th anniversary of that war. It was also the holiest day in the Jewish calendar and the Sabbath. So, and yeah, all the Jews were away. They were celebrating. They were having concerts. They were worshiping. They were at home doing whatever. No one was expecting an attack because everyone was away from work, essentially. And so the Islamic terrorists from Gaza attacked both from their border. They overtook certain outposts, and they also invaded from the sea. And I believe there were a few that paratrooped into it, as well as moved in from the West Coast Palestinian areas. Don't get confused, though. They weren't West Coast Palestinians. They just simply came in through the West Coast. If you're curious how, there is a road that goes from the Gaza Strip through central Israeli territory to the West Coast of Palestine. Since they're technically ruled by the same people, but not really. They act way different, so it doesn't really count. But it's very likely that those troops that invaded from the West Coast came from the Gaza Strip. They drove on that road. And yes, Israel monitors to make sure there's no weapons being carried along that road. But who's to say they didn't get the weapons from West Palestine? Or who's to say Iran didn't have a, I don't know what you want to call it, some sort of weapons outpost in West Palestine where they got the weapons from? Who knows? I don't know. But it's what happened, so it's what we got to deal with. I think Gaza Strip should be eliminated. I think the West Coast is fine. I am fine with the two-state system. It seems to work really well when the Gaza Strip doesn't exist. So I'm fine with the two-state system. This is what I think the United States needs to do. So Israel is the biggest ally we have in the Middle East. A lot of people might say it's Saudi Arabia or it's Egypt or it's whoever. It does not matter. It's not. They have oil, but oil is not our only priority. Israel exists because we made them exist. The United States of America, is one of the biggest reasons why Israel exists to this day. I think it's $4 billion that we send to Israel every single year to help fund their defensive strategy. Our goal is to essentially make them or allow them, help them have a military that is more technologically advanced than any other military in the Middle East. Because Israel has a lot of enemies. The interesting part here is what the US has been doing is very anti-Israel. So the first thing that we did that probably helped spur this war on is we unfroze $6 billion of oil revenues in Iran. So we froze $6 billion of oil revenues in Iran a long time ago. We unfroze those revenues about a week ago, I think, because we wanted to get hostages back. We also traded hostages, I believe. No, I think it was just the oil revenue. We traded, so basically we unfroze their oil revenue of $6 billion to get American citizens back. What we should have done is simply just gone into Iran and, infiltrated the prisons with our special forces and just taken them out and brought them home, because Iran is not someone to work with. And when you work with Iran, they're going to use the supplies that you give them, the money that you give them for something that you don't like. It's guaranteed, especially if you're the United States of America and they hate you, which they do. So the us giving them $6 billion, and yes, we gave them the $6 billion, and yes, we ensured they would not use those $6 billion on funding anti-Israel terrorist groups, but money is fungible, which means they could use $6 billion. How do I, okay, the easiest way to explain this is we gave them $6 billion. Let's say they used it on city infrastructure, super nice and peaceful thing. Now the $6 billion that they were going to use on city infrastructure gets moved to using to fund the Hamas, the terrorist group that attacked Israel. So while that money may not have been directly used to fund Hamas, it was used to replace other money that was directly used to fund Hamas. And we know this for a fact because Iran actually said, yes, we helped fund and plan the Hamas attacks on Israel. Hamas has also said the same thing, that Iran helped fund and plan. So Iran is really not a great nation to work with. You should not give them money. You should not give them any sort of thing. You just have to go in there, take what you want, and leave. They're not a state that can be cooperated with. You cannot trade with them. You cannot have civil conversations with them. They'll always go against their word, basically. The word means nothing. So that's the first mistake that we did. The second mistake that we did is we elected senators who are not very smart. Let's think of Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar is not the greatest person on planet Earth. She said that the reason the Hamas people attacked is because of the apartheid state system, and that's not actually true. The reason the Hamas attacked is because they believe Jerusalem is their homeland. Well, the Israelites believe that Jerusalem is their homeland. That's the reason why they attacked, not because of an apartheid state system. The second thing we did is we allowed people to protest in the United States. And I understand the First Amendment says that you have the right to religion, assembly, press, petition, and speech. And assembly is protest. But why in the world are people in New York protesting and saying good that Palestine attacked Israel and killed thousands or hundreds at the very least of innocent civilians in Israel, men, women, children? Why are they saying that? Why are they saying that's good? And understand that in Gaza Strip, Israel did bomb the Gaza Strip, And so right now there's a counteroffensive going on. I'll talk about that in the second half of this episode really quickly. But to finish off what I was saying here, I mean, in America, people are protesting, and they're not protesting the attacks on Israel. They're saying Palestine should be attacking Israel. In fact, Israel should just be eliminated. Israel should be just one unified Palestine. And that makes no sense. The Palestinians, what they want is a Islamic state. They already have an Islamic state. It's called Iran. Turkey is becoming an Islamic state. Saudi Arabia is basically an Islamic state. Egypt is very Islamic, not necessarily an Islamic state, but basically an Islamic state. There's four Islamic states right there. They don't need another one. Israel, the Jewish people, they have no Jewish state. The reason why the Jews had to gather together once again into that little area is because when the Romans took over it's actually kind of funny and also really interesting at the same time. The Israelites, the Hebrews, they revolted against the Romans three separate times, and so the Romans had to send legions to Israel to contain the revolt. And after the third time that the Israelites revolted, this was after the time of Jesus, by the way, after the third time the Hebrews revolted, the Romans sent the legions, and instead of just conquering the revolt, they s dispersed the Jews across the entire Roman Empire. So essentially, what was once an entire Israeli state full of Hebrews became a integrated part of Rome, not full of Hebrews. The however, probably 100,000 Hebrews or 600,000 Hebrews or 1 million Hebrews, however many were there once, were now spread throughout the entire Roman Empire, which was Northern Africa, all of Europe, a vast amount of England. That was essentially the entire Roman Empire. And so they were nowhere to be found. World War I happened, World War II happened. World War I, it was under the control of the Ottomans, but still, the Hebrews were not under the control of the Ottomans. The basic land where the Hebrews came from originally was under the control of the Ottomans. Then World War II happened. I don't remember who, I think it was Palestine by World War II. Yeah, Ottomans didn't exist. I think it was just regular Palestine by World War II. And then after World War II, I think it was 1950s and 60s, Israel started becoming a nation again. People started getting together. Not Eisenhower. What's his name? Einstein. He was a very influential figure in helping bring together the Hebrews and bringing them back into Israel. And at first, it wasn't started by an invasion of Palestine. It was started with the agreement of Palestine that they should live together as two separate peoples in the original Holy Land of Israel. And over time, obviously, Islamic people and extremists didn't like that idea, and there were a lot of terrorist attacks upon Israel, and Israel took Palestinian land in order to try to stop the terrorist attacks. So they took the land where they were coming from, and that's where Israel is today. Israel was once there as a small little area that inside Palestine, and now it's the other way around. Now Palestine is a small little area inside of Israel because Israel has taken a lot of land from Palestine. And that land that they took was not unprovoked, by the way. The land they took for a very specific reason. They took because the Palestinians were constantly attacking them. It's like, what would you do? Think of it this way. Let's say Mexico was constantly launching rocket attacks into Texas, nonstop rocket attacks. Sometimes it would send guerrilla warfare people into the United States. Would you not send the National Guard from Texas and the rest of the southern states into Mexico to take the territory where they are firing from? It sounds like a common sense idea. So the fact that Israel took that land is not a bad thing. They thought that they had no choice. And the United States has been a great ally of Israel for the longest time, since they began in modern history. So that's where the state of Israel comes from, and that's why the Palestinians dislike Israel. They think Israel should no longer be in what they once thought as Palestinian land. Even though they originally agreed with it, they no longer do. That's basically how it goes. And Iran is obviously an Islamic state, and so they don't like Israel either. So right now we have Saudi Arabia. They were going to make a deal with Israel, right? Saudi Arabia was saying that, hey, we want to make, well, they weren't saying it. It was Israel and Saudi Arabia were getting together to say, hey, we need to normalize relations. We don't want to be at each other's necks all the time. We want to have trade with each other, have peaceful talks with each other all the time. And if they were to do this, that would be a major blow to the terrorist groups of Hamas and Hezbollah. And that's because Saudi Arabia is basically an Islamic state. And if this Islamic state were to recognize Israel as a nation, and not just that, but trade with them, do military relations with them, what would happen then? Saudi Arabia is one of the, if not the most power, not, it's not the most powerful, it is one of the most powerful military nations in the Middle East, second to Israel. If Saudi Arabia was on Israel's side, Hamas and Hezbollah would not exist for much longer. So there's that. Okay, let's get back to what I was talking about. Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar is funny. So you think it's just the fault of the apartheid state system, which it isn't, by the way. So what's going on here is I think Israel needs to eliminate the Gaza Strip. Like I said at the beginning, the Gaza Strip has done nothing but cause problems. On the other hand, the West Coast can exist. And the way we can do this as Americans, the way we can ensure all of this actually happens, the way we can ensure all of this goes through and we don't just back out on our word like we did with Afghanistan, without also making an endless war that's going on in Ukraine, without doing something like that, is we need to send troops. I say this all the time. Every time we don't send troops, our enemies get stronger. We need to send troops. We're not going to, but we need to. Joe Biden is one of those guys who does a lot of big talk and doesn't do anything. So what he did is he moved ships and aircraft, not an aircraft carrier, he moved ships and aircraft based in, what are they called? Airports, not aircraft carriers. Closer to Israel. It's like, good job. You moved troops closer. That's not doing anything. You're moving troops closer to make the American people happy with you. The Islamic terrorist know you're not going to do anything because you left Afghanistan killing at least eight Americans. You have weapons in Ukraine that are just funding an endless war. $46 billion sent to Ukraine with no end in sight. The terrorists know there's nothing that's going to happen. Everything you do is going to go nowhere. What the United States needs to do immediately is we need to send troops. We cannot have all of these nonsensical wars that go on. Like, Israel can fight this war. They will probably win this war on their own. That's a fact. We need to show that we are supportive of Israel, and anyone who attacks Israel will be defeated, not just by Israel, but by the United States. That will 100% limit all future terrorist attacks on Israel. Hamas and Hezbollah will not want to attack Israel because an attack on Israel will be treated the same as an attack on the United States. Same goes with Iran. We need to send troops. How do we send troops? Well, we have 11 aircraft carriers, and I understand not all of them are active right now. I think about five of them are in duty. Sorry, they're all in duty, but five of them aren't being used. The other six would be in maintenance or upgrades or repairs or whatever it is they're doing right now. So the five we can use, I think we have two in the South Pacific, one by Taiwan, one by Japan, so Guam and Japan, and one in the up in the oh, I'm sorry, my geography is not that great today. It's funny. I'll come back from class and then I'll do a podcast episode and I'll be like, oh no, I can't think about geography right now. They're by Ukraine, the Mediterranean. We have two more, that means. At least we should have two more. If we don't have two more, we should get two of them out of maintenance or whatever they're doing right now and send them to the, what's the Gulf Coast, the Gulf by Iran called? I can't think of the Gulf by Iran. We should send it to the Gulf by Iran. We should also send it to the Mediterranean, another one to the Mediterranean. Instead of monitoring the Russian-Ukrainian war, we should monitor the Israeli-Palestinian war. And not just monitor, we should fund airstrikes. Right now, Israel has 45 F-35 Lightning II aircraft. Remove every single. So the aircraft carrier we should send to Israel should be a Gerald R. Ford carrier. The reason why is because a Gerald R. Ford can carry, I believe it's 70, at least 70 F-35 aircraft. That is more than than all the F-35 aircraft Israel itself has, just one aircraft carrier. Send an aircraft carrier full of F-35s there. And the reason why is because F-35s are multi-role jets. They don't only need to attack ground targets, they can also shoot down air targets, sea targets. They're multi-role. They can do anything. That's the reason why I'm talking about F-35s. They're also stealthy, so Iran can't detect them or track them or shoot at them. Same as the Palestinians, so there's no problem there. With Iran, I think we should attack some government buildings in Iran. The idea with troops on the ground is we send troops to Israel, M1 Abrams tanks, whatever we need to send there, and we just invade the Gaza Strip in cooperation with Israel. We match their force. So if Israel has 70 tanks, we send 70 more tanks. If Israel has 100,000 troops, okay, maybe don't send 100,000 troops, but you understand what I mean in terms of vehicles. We match their vehicle strength. With Iran, I think we should do more instead of invading Iran, because invading Iran would not work. Their people there are very, very, what's the word, pro-Iran. So invading them will just be constantly attacked by guerrilla warfare, and it would just be pathetic, basically. We could do the thing where, we grab them and we just spread them throughout the world, but this isn't the Roman Empire, so we're not going to do that. What we can do is we can do drone strikes with, my words, English language, I can't speak. We can do drone strikes on their government buildings. We can have airstrikes on other buildings. Essentially, just bomb them to oblivion. They won't want to exist after they're done being bombed. That's what I think we can do to end this Israeli conflict. But now that is all said, yeah, that's the end of the episode. That's how we deal with Israel. And oh yeah, the most important way to deal with Israel is electing a new president. And I would highly suggest electing Ron DeSantis. He's a pretty good guy. He served in the Navy. He served as, what's the word? He was something to SEAL Team 6. He wasn't part of SEAL Team 6. He was like advisor or something like that to them. Essentially, yeah. Ron DeSantis is a pretty decent guy. So elect Ron DeSantis. If you live in Iowa like I do, your caucus is in January. And yeah, you can just go to the caucus in your county and give a little speech, put your vote in for Ron DeSantis. Let's get him elected. Hopefully. But that's the end of the episode. I'll catch you all later. God bless you. Adios.